Welcome. Today is Monday, the 28th of January 2019. Just thought I would give a brief update as to where we are and what's going on. So we've had a good couple of days with Andrew. He's not experiencing much pain at all, to the degree that he wanted to come off his slow release morphine, which is nice, but that only lasted for about 24 hours. He did ask for it again this morning, but he's not in huge amounts of pain. It's just something that I think that it's more the aching and the numbness that causes him the frustration, because he can't feel from his waist downwards. The cancer is sitting on the branches of the nerval system, and so it does, luckily for Andrew, if there is a silver lining to this cloud, is that he doesn't actually feel the pain because the cancer is actually suppressing its own pain. Appetite is staying average. He's still on steroids. We'll probably keep him on these now for the remainder of his life. But he is feeling a lot of numbness in his face. Don't know whether that's drug related or whether that is to do with the illness. He's not even aware sometimes he dribbles, and sometimes he doesn't make sense either. So we know that obviously the cancer is causing an issue within the brain with regards to what he's wanting to say, but it's not like he rambles, it's not like he's doesn't know who he is or doesn't know who we are. He's fully aware of everything and fully aware of everybody around him, but he has and does suffer from short-term memory loss. So if we'd have said something to him this morning, that maybe we were getting a visit from the nurses or from a member of the family or friends, etc., he probably wouldn't remember who they are. A couple of hours later, he would be asking who these people are that's coming to see him and what time they were coming. So they're the only slight differences and changes, though. I've got to say that the smell that actually comes from Andrew, and it's not through bad hygiene. We get him up, we wash him twice a day, make sure he's absolutely clean. But there's a cancer smell about him, and it's really hard to describe, and it typically comes from the breath, and Andrew's got an amazing oral hygiene. He's not filthy in any shape or form, and it's not like it's bad breath because he's not eating or drinking. He is doing both, but there is sometimes a really strong odour, and he has had this since coming out of hospital, ever since there was a formal diagnosis a couple of Wednesdays ago. And it apparently a lot of cancer patients get it. Michael's mum, he remembers her having this smell sort of like days, weeks before she finally died. And it's basically where that the cancer is rotting the inside of the body, and cells are dying, and that's what and how this smell is penetrating. But it's not there constantly. It's not like you sort of like walk into the room and it makes you feel ill. But you are so aware of it. And maybe myself and Michael are becoming a little bit immune to it, because we see it day in, day out. This weekend we had a couple of visitors. His mum and his youngest sister came in to see him. They actually feel that they've that they come down once a week, and they actually feel that there is again another decline in him and the way he looks. But again, we don't see that because we're living it 24/7. We just see Andrew, and that's nice for us, and I'd much rather it be this way. We're still having a laugh, we still talk, we still try and eat our meals together, and yeah, it's pretty much life as normal right now. Right now I'm trying to do some work in the office, which is adjacent to the lounge. Michael is in with Andrew at the moment. They're watching a series that they got hooked on themselves. Sometimes Andrew doesn't always take in all of the information that he's seeing and hearing. Andrew's an avid board game player, absolutely. I think I mentioned this to you in my first podcast, and absolutely loves them. We've got 300 games in the house, and some of the well-known games that he absolutely loves and has loved for many, many years and knows inside out, doesn't always make sense to him now, which, you know, it is a little upsetting to see and hear, but he just can't process the information on what he needs to do based on the strategy of these games. But it's not all the time, so it's quite random. How long has Andrew got left? We know it's weeks, but to be honest, this just feels like normal life to us now. We all sleep in the lounge because Andrew cannot get up the stairs for obvious reasons. He's lost the use and ability of his legs. He has to sit on a commode. He can't get to the toilet. We've got a downstairs toilet here in the house, but it's just too far for him to get to, even if we were to push him on a wheelchair. And not only that, there would be the risk of him collapsing in the toilet and we wouldn't be able to access it enough to support him. So it's safer for him. And this is about how you look after someone that's terminally ill. It's about making sure they're safe and they're not in any distress at all. And Andrew's in no distress, any shape or form, which is lovely. And it's a privilege if you've got to look after somebody that you truly love. You know, for the rest of their life, it really is a privilege to be able to sit and support him and talk him through this and be with him. As I said, I'm doing a bit of work today. Today feels like a bit of a normal day. I am a director of a recruitment business, but I have stepped down from management for the time being for obvious reasons. So I'm just doing some consultancy work for the business because it keeps me sane. And I think that is a sense of normality again. I don't feel like I want to be out of the house. Michael and I virtually live in the house 24/7 with Andrew. Andrew doesn't ever go out anywhere because he just doesn't feel safe. And Andrew has always been a confident, outgoing individual, so that's hard. But he's not unhappy. I've got a horse as well. But I'm lucky that I've got friends that are taking care of Charlie, my horse, right now. And on the odd occasion, I do get the opportunity to go out and have a quick cheeky ride, as long as I feel confident enough that Andrew's comfortable and he's not going to go anywhere. In the sense of die whilst I'm at the house, because there is this immense pressure that you feel that you don't want to be anywhere else other than with your loved one or within the closest vicinity to be able to get there and support them. If there's a bout of pain that comes or they need the toilet, etc. But it's not a hard life doing this. As I said, it, in a way, it's actually a privilege to be able to do this and support Andrew. I wouldn't have it any other way. I certainly wouldn't have him in a hospice, definitely not a hospital at all. We're certainly taking care of every part of his needs, there'd be no need for him to be elsewhere. But we don't do a guessing game on the sense of looking for signs of how much longer he's got left. We just simply get on and enjoy every moment. You know, life is precious, and this is teaching me a massive lesson about what is important in life. I've always been career driven, absolutely loved working hard. But that doesn't support the people in the sense of the emotional support that loved ones need to feel and want to feel. It's great having money in the bank, but it doesn't actually do anything. It doesn't make you a better person. And I would swap all of that tomorrow to have Andrew well and have him back into full health. But it's not going to happen. You know, we are making the best of it. Said that the main priority is making sure that he's comfortable and he's not in any pain, and every part of life that he wants, in the sense of anything needing doing, we take care of for him. And I think that's a nice position to be in. We have phone calls from district nurses. Had one earlier on today. Unfortunately, Andrew hasn't been able to go to the toilet in about 8 or 9 days. He can pass urine, but not stools. So we spoke to the nurses about that, and they're going to issue some laxatives to help him with that. And it could simply be for the fact that his body's shutting down. And that's why he can't actually go to the toilet or feel like he needs to go to the toilet. But we'll see what happens. Again, he's not in any pain or discomfort, so why rock the boat? I'll keep you updated. Many thanks for listening.